It is a joy to be here with you this morning. Excellent worship service so far. I got to tell you how edified we have been this week with you. It's weird that it's the last day of the meeting, but I'll save goodbyes and all for this afternoon. This morning, we're going to talk about transformation, as you see here on the slides here. Transformation. And this is kind of what everything has kind of led up to, is we've talked about the beautiful story of Christ and how it has the power to impact and change our lives. And if we have been impacted by that and we've had our lives changed, we have been called as Christians to be living a transformed life and to reflecting that transformation as we try to live and uphold the being, the image of God, and reflecting that image of God properly in Christ. Because Jesus is the image of God, and we're to be transformed more and more into the image of Christ, so that we can be in harmony with God, so that we can be in unity with God, so that we can have that restored balance that God has brought into this world through Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We might be sincere about this change that's undergone in our lives. We might be serious about this transformation that has impacted us so deeply. And we might have a true willingness to follow Christ. Yet I believe that many of us struggle with understanding how to transform. And I know I did, and I do. Still have problems with things. And we struggle with this concept of really, how do we actually transform? How do we actually change our lives? How do we have real, meaningful, lasting change that helps us to reflect this image of Christ and be in unity with Him? And we get in this vicious cycle. We try, we fail, then we become discouraged. And we start getting down. And we get to the point that we either lose ground because of how discouraged we are, because we keep dealing with this mistake, we keep dealing with this sin, we keep dealing with this problem. So we get discouraged, and we lose ground, or we just kind of stop altogether. And our growth is stunted. And we don't push past that sin. And we just come to this grinding halt in our growth as a Christian, and we think, okay, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but that's good enough, apparently, because I can't overcome this sin. And so we just allow ourselves to stop. And you know, at times we will participate in the joys and the blessings of it is to spend of spending time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We experience the joys, and maybe we feel so great, and it's just we're on this high, and maybe we do feel just enough growth to feel like things are really changing in my life. Then time passes, and we find ourselves continuing to battle with the same old thing, the same old sins in our lives. The same habits that we've always had. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating. I've been to that point. You look up and it's been years. You're still dealing with this. And it hurts. And it's hard. So what do we do? How do we experience real, lasting change that helps us grow in Christ? You know, it seems like as we look at the lives of the people of the Bible, we see the changes and transformations that they underwent. And King David particularly is one that is very interesting. He was a man that was sinful. We know the sins. His sins are laid out to bear in the Bible, right there for us to read about. And in the Psalms, there is such an outpouring of his heart. There is such an outpouring of his emotions and his pleadings to God and his questioning of his own self and his questioning of God and his discovery of this process of transformation. In Psalm 119, verse 29, we read, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth, thy judgments I have laid before me. I have stuck to thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. You know, as I thought about this process of transformation, and I struggled through, you deal with certain problems in your life, and you're struggling through these things, and you're trying to grasp this concept of transformation, come across a psalm like this, and it became apparent that there is a process here that will help us to have real, lasting, meaningful change in our lives. And I want to share that with you this morning. because I believe it can be a powerful tool in our lives as Christians so that we can grow past those problems. We can grow past those problems, or the habits rather, and we can start to develop new habits and we can experience real change. Notice here that David first writes here about his choice. I have chosen the way of truth, O Lord. I have chosen the way of truth. And then he says, teach me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy judgments. And then he goes on and he says, teach me thy ways and thy knowledge, and I will keep thy law. I will do what you told me to do. And not only that, I will keep it with my whole heart. I will have commitment. And so there's four, I wouldn't really call them steps, but maybe building blocks in this process as you kind of go through this of changing and transforming. And this is the process. Romans chapter 12 reflects this as well. And as we go through these, we'll make the connections of how Romans chapter 12, I believe, essentially mirrors what David was saying when he talks about this process of transformation, choosing the way of truth, seeking the knowledge of God, taking action upon that knowledge of God, and staying committed to that process. Choice. That's where it starts. Choice. The power of choice is fascinating to me, and what's also fascinating is how much choice we exercise each day in our lives, and we don't even think about some of those things sometimes. It's just pre-programmed, and we're on autopilot, and we're doing all these things, and these are all choices that we've made, and we've predetermined, or we've developed this habit because of the choice that we made before, and then we kept choosing that, and so we just developed this habit, and then it just becomes second nature to us. But you chose to be here this morning. Whether you think that or not, you chose to be here this morning. You didn't have to come here. You didn't have to wake up this morning and you know, get ready and get dressed and eat breakfast and do all the things that you do. And if you're us, maybe run around in a panic trying to get all our stuff together. You didn't have to do those things. But you chose to do those things so that you could be here. And you chose to be here to worship together and to love one another and the people that you saw and that you hugged and do all these things, these are all these choices that we're making. We're not just blindly and mindlessly going along, being controlled like robots and doing these things out of our own will. We're choosing to do these things. Well, think about the sin in our lives. We might go on for years because of this. We think we've developed this habit, and we might go on for years frustrated by the sin. And we feel hopeless. There's nothing changing in my life. I'm no closer to God than when I first began. Have you ever felt that way? Because I have. Satan traps us in that mindset, in that kind of thinking. And you just learn to stop struggling. You learn to stop trying to fight it. You just feel like it's hopeless to escape this. And you start to believe false ideas about the sin that's in your life. Because I did at times. I can't overcome this. This is just who I am. Or worse yet, we try to shift the blame and put it on God. God made me this way. These are false ideas, and it keeps us trapped in this. And you know, anytime we repeat those ideas to ourselves, anytime we believe those ideas in our own mind, you know what we're saying? There is no alternative but sin. There's nothing else to choose. There's nothing else I can do but commit sin. That's it. That's the only option. And we know, thankfully, that that is not true. The truth is we always have a choice, and there is an alternative. You know, Romans chapter 12 said, don't be conformed to the world, but instead be conformed to Christ. Be transformed to Christ. Don't do this, instead do this. You have a choice in which one you do. In the Psalm, we read about that. King David says, remove from me the way of lying. I choose the way of righteousness. This is what I would like to do instead. This is what I want to do instead. We have the power of choice. Romans chapter 6, verse 16, we read this last night. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are? Or not last night, I guess we had the Jubilee. Romans 6, 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, whom you obey? Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? Don't we know and don't we get it and understand that it's our choices that box us into the life that we're living? Whether it's sin unto death, you've chosen that path. Or whether it's obedience unto righteousness, you've chosen that path. And God wants us, as we've examined and we studied about this, the image of God and the way and the reason that God gives us his law, because God is life and law is connected to life and it reflects who he is and his nature, and he wants us to choose life. But he also gives us clear understanding that when we are stubborn and we disobey him and we reject life, that we're making a choice to choose death. And so the very beginning of our understanding of how to be transformed is understanding the power of the choices that we make in our lives. Because over time, our choices become habits. And that habit becomes our character, who we are. You want to know what kind of person you are? Take a step back and look at the habits that you have in your life. And if you want to know why you have the habits you have in your life, take a step back and look at the choices that you've made in your life. So this very first step is understanding how to transform is understanding our life is full of making choices. Remember the story of the prodigal son? He decided it was time for him to leave. He decided it's time for me to go. And he goes to his father and he says, I want all of my inheritance. He's making all these choices. I want my inheritance. Because he wants to choose to go do something with that inheritance that is sinful, that is ungodly. And he goes into a far country and he begins to live a horrible life. And he spends all of his inheritance. And he's down to nothing. And the world has left him empty and broken and hopeless. He goes and finds some servant of that, or some person of that country, and he joins himself and becomes a servant of that person, and he is working out in the pig slop. And he looks to the pigs and he says, wow, I wish I had what they were eating. That's all he got. He was hopeless, broken, despair, alone. He was hungering for something else. He wanted, at that point, something else. 15 says, when he came to himself. You see, do you feel how refreshing that is? He's sitting here in the pig slop. He comes to himself. And he realizes, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. At that moment, he made a choice. He came to himself and he made a decision. He said, I know where I need to go. I'm going to get up and go to my father. All it took was him making up his mind. He wasn't trapped. He didn't have to stay in that far country. He didn't have to stay in the pig slop working for that person of that country. That wasn't who he was. That wasn't how God made him. It wasn't that he just can't overcome that sin. Those were a series of choices that he made that led him to that point in his life. But the beautiful thing is that he had the power to choose, and he woke up and he said, I need to do something else, and so he made a choice. I will arise and go to my Father. And every day we have a choice to make in our lives to be conformed to the image of Christ. And this is a daily choice that we have to make. It's not just a one-time thing, and then we just kind of let it fall to the back burner and we hope that our lives are going to be okay. We have to make a series of choices that help us develop habits, that help us develop good character, that reflects the image and the nature of God in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this in Luke 9. It says, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? What have you gained? So what if you made a series of choices that preserved your own life and made your life comfortable and made your life great, but you don't have Christ and you didn't take up your cross daily and make that choice? Jesus says, what have you gained? Nothing. But he says the choice for us to follow him and take up our cross is a daily choice. It's something that we have to do every single day, and it helps to develop our character and our habits in Jesus Christ. And the choice has been set before us. As we read in Deuteronomy, God sets the law before him, and he says, in setting of these laws before you, the commandments of God, when he delivers these to mankind, whether it's in the old law, and that was fulfilled in Christ, but now we have the laws of the New Testament that are set before us, but the principle is the same. He sets before us life and blessing, or cursing and death. And the choice is up to us. And so Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." You see, there's these two choices to make. We can either live ungodly, we can either live in these worldly lusts, or we can do what God has wanted us to do. He wants us to choose life. He wants us to be preserved in life. And instead deny worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind to Jesus Christ. Don't be conformed to this world. And it's a daily occurrence. It's a daily choice. And that's what it means to live in Christ and live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 13, it says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." You see, there's these two choices that we're constantly fighting between. And we're making these choices now and developing the character now and living in this life because we're looking forward to a greater day where our mortal bodies will be resurrected and we'll be joined together with Christ. That's why it's so important for us to understand the story of the Bible so that we can live in context of that in our lives and live holy because God is holy. Because it matters today. You know, I was talking to some brothers and they made some good points and things that I need to make sure to understand and to clarify is that we're not living the holy life and saying we're saved in Jesus and just kind of putting it off to the day of the resurrection and hoping everything's going to be right. No, everything needs to be right now. In our lives today, we need to reflect the holiness of God and live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Our body is dead because of sin, but we're waiting for the redemption of our body. And we won't make it if we make poor choices. And that's the reality of the situation. But it all begins with our choice. You choose who you want to serve. You either serve the flesh or serve the Spirit. Make the choice. That is up to you. You have the power to choose. The next thing that we read about there in Psalm 119, David said, "Teach me the way of your statutes." In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "To be transformed in the renewing of your mind." This has to do with knowledge. We have to seek knowledge. We have to grow in our knowledge and understanding so that we know what it is we're supposed to be. We can't just decide, I'm going to follow the way of righteousness and just kind of do it our own way. We talked about that on Thursday night. When we redefine the commandments of God, we redefine who God is. And what we'll do is have a tendency to shape God into our own image rather than us reflecting the image of God. And so our knowledge needs to be grounded in the knowledge and the wisdom that has been delivered to us from heaven, so that we can grow, because this is a process of maturity and process of growth that must be accompanied by knowledge. And so how is our mind renewed? Again, knowledge. Colossians 3, verse 10. "And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Here we go back to connecting this image of God. If we want to be more like the image of Christ, we need to know who he is. We need to understand who he is through the knowledge of what God has delivered us in his word. God sent this knowledge to us, to this world, and he intervened in this world so that we could be changed. Acts chapter 2, verse 26, verse 18, when Paul was describing this, he said that he was sent out to preach the gospel to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is the charge that Paul received and all the apostles, and this is the charge that we receive. It's our job to go teach the message, and the knowledge of God is so powerful that it turns us from darkness to light. It turns us from obeying Satan to obeying God so that we can receive forgiveness of sins and not just live in our sins and die in our sins. God sent this knowledge into this world so that we could be changed. We're not stuck. You have the ability to change, and God has sent us the knowledge to help us do it. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 through 4, it says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has sent us and delivered us the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and in this, and through his divine power, has given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. And I'm the more I study, the more I learn, the more I hear the stories of the lives of faithful brothers and sisters that I've been blessed to be able to hear this week from all of you, it becomes apparent that the scriptures do have the answers to everything that pertains to life and to godliness. If we want to know how to live righteously in this world, we want to know how to solve the problems in our lives, we want to know how to live in godliness, the Bible teaches us that. Sometimes it's not, I know there's varying views about this, but I'm just going to say it. Sometimes it's not black and white. And we have to use knowledge to grow in our knowledge of what is right and what is wrong so that we can make determinations in the situations that come up in life. Because it's not always spelled out in the scriptures of what to do when brother or sister has this problem in their life and they've made these horrible choices and now they're in this situation. And so we have to use knowledge and use judgment and use our understanding of the scriptures so that we can piece together this image to show how can this person live in godliness now and how can they reach this goal of being saved in Jesus Christ. But it takes knowledge for us to understand how to do that, not just helping somebody else, but even in our own lives. The Word of God is what we need to understand how to live in life and godliness. And it says that he's given us all things, not just some things. It's not, oh, well, we're dealing with this church problem, let's go to the Bible and that's it for that specific problem. It's everything that we could ever imagine, everything that we need in life and godliness. Romans chapter 10 says, faith by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It has to come from the Word of God. Our knowledge that we receive has to come from the Word or else it's going to be wrong. And we are going to be misled and we're going to be off track. If you want to solve the spiritual problems that you're having in your life, it has to come from the Word of God. And we have to do the work to gain knowledge. Just like it's not always black and white, it's not always easy and apparent to just go to the scriptures and say, oh, here's the answer. You have to dig deep. You have to do the work. You have to study hard. Talked to a sister last night, young girl, did the work and is doing the work and is trying to study and going through this and saw what the scriptures teach for herself. But it took work and effort, as she described this to me. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest out after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, and if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do you see how much action it takes? Look at all these action words that it says here. If you will receive my words, there's a process of us having to receive the commandments of God and being accepting of that. We receive his word, we incline our ear, we apply our heart, we cry after knowledge, we lift up our voice, we seek for it as silver, and we search for it. There are seven things, as it describes here. It is action, 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 and it takes work, and we dig, and it's a treasure hunt every time we go to the scriptures. And for some reason, I get this image of like an Indiana Jones type thing where he didn't just go into this cave and the treasure. He had to go through all of these obstacles and all of these things. And then he finds the treasure, this thing that he's looking for. And it's kind of similar. Now, it's not booby-trapped for us as we're going through this, to the scriptures, of course. But we have to go through these obstacles of understanding and learning. And we put line upon line and precept upon precept until we build up enough knowledge so that we can reach that level where we're wanting to reach and we get that treasure. And it impacts and it changes our life so much, but it takes so much work. And he says, once you've done all these seven things and in this process, at least as the scripture is laid out, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It takes work and it takes effort. It doesn't take just a casual, let's just read this scripture. Oh, I got this notification on my Bible app and I'm just going to casually read this really quick. Or I'm going to get annoyed by how many notifications I'm getting and I'm just going to glance at it real fast, and then I'm going to swipe it away. Or, oh, we're just going to, you know, oh, I just feel in the mood to read the Bible. I'm just going to flip to whatever's there, and let's see what the Word says for me today. That's not going to help us grow. That's not going to help us to gain deep knowledge that we need that pertains to life and to godliness. We need to do more than that. We need to put in the work and put in the effort so that we can grow. renewing your mind as we put this knowledge in our hearts, and we replace the knowledge of the world and we put it in our minds, the knowledge of Christ, it's going to cause you to look at every single thing differently. It's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way you act. It's going to change the way you look. You're going to stop looking at it through the lens of the world or through our corrupt minds, and we'll start looking at it through the lens of a spiritual perspective, the lens of God, and we'll see life how it is, but it's work for us to gain the knowledge. Choose to do what is right, and then be ready for the work that it takes to learn how to be what it is that God wants us to be. And that's something I want to make sure to be clear on too. Just because we choose something, that sets us up for having to find out. And we don't have to know every single thing before we make the choice to know we want to do what is right. So don't hold yourself back in that regard either. Don't wait until you think you have a certain amount of knowledge to change your life. Make the choice to follow God now, and then do the work to learn and understand what it is we're supposed to do. But it's not enough. It's not enough just to do these things and to find the knowledge of God and to grow in the knowledge of God and to hear what the Bible teaches. If we want to live a transformed life, if we want real and lasting change in our lives and we want to deal with the sin problems that are in our own lives and feel like we're growing past those problems, you have to make the choice to take action as you gain that knowledge. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that we should be transformed and then renewing our minds so that we might prove. Psalm 119, David said, I will keep your law. These words, proving the word of God, keeping the word of law, the word of God, it implies action. These are action words that are implied. When we see the knowledge of God, we're going to do something about it. And so if we have all the knowledge in the world and we don't do anything about it, we've accomplished nothing, and that is sin to us. The Bible says in James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it, him it is sin. It's a waste of your time, it's a waste of God's time, and it is a sin for us to know to do what is right and do what is good and have all the knowledge in the world and do all the digging and do all the work, but then we don't do anything about it, and we don't actually use the knowledge and apply it. And so knowledge without action is useless. And the flip side of that is true too. If we try to take action and we have no knowledge and no foundation of the Word of God, that's useless too. And that's a sin. Paul called out his own brethren, the Jews, and said in Romans chapter 10, verse 2, he says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. You see, he rebuked the Jews and he said, they think they love God and they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They don't know what they're doing and they're trying to go and take all this action for God, but they have no foundation of knowledge. And what they've done is established their own righteousness. And so it is a delicate balance as we look at these pieces. We have to have the knowledge of God and then we have to take action upon that knowledge. So action without knowledge is sinful, and knowledge without action is also sinful. So when we gain knowledge, exercise the knowledge. The way that we make this renewed mindset stick, as we said, we make better choices. Those choices define our habits. Those habits will create a character within us. And the way to have that renewed mindset stick and to actually have our lives changing and transforming so that a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, we are a totally different person is by putting this knowledge into action. Do something with the knowledge, and your life will be blessed. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If we want our lives to be blessed, if we want our lives to actually change, and we want that real and lasting and meaningful change, we have to be doers of the work. You can't go to the Word of God and be convicted by something and see that there's something wrong in our lives and then just walk away. And I've always found this illustration so interesting. The illustrations that God gives us, and it's perfect. It's like going into the mirror and looking at yourself And let's say your hair is messy and you have a toothpaste on your face. And you think, I'm going to be embarrassed if I go out in public like this. I've got to do something. And you just sit there and look at yourself. And then you walk away and do nothing. Or you look at the mirror, and the way this illustration says, you look in the mirror and you say, oh, that's what I look like. And then you walk away from the mirror and you immediately forget what you look like. What color is my hair? What color are my eyes? How big is my nose? And we forget. And it's the same thing when we approach the perfect law of liberty. Because I guarantee you, as we read and dig through the knowledge of God, we are going to find problems reflected from our own lives, staring us right in the face. And we look at the Bible and we say, I'm not right. I'm not living right. Because the Bible exposes us and shows us who we are. Because the Word of God is life and it is light. And when we have darkness in our life, it exposes that and bears it right there out in the open. And the goal is for us to be changing our lives and transforming our lives so that every time we're looking at that the Word of God, we see the image of Christ. And we're changing constantly so that we can bear that image of Christ properly. But then we see those things and we're convicted of these things and we say, my life needs to change, and then I just don't do anything at all. We won't be blessed in our deed because we've only heard the Word and we've not taken action. Be doers of the Word. And the more you do the Word, the more knowledge you're going to be able to retain, the deeper you're going to be able to go. And it's this beautiful cycle that works together, and these parts work together to help you in this process of transformation. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you do these things, if you apply the Word of God in your life, we have a scriptural promise that we will not be unfruitful in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we will not be barren. You know what that means? Our lives will not be empty. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He's short-sighted. And hath forgotten what is purged, that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have a scriptural promise that we will experience growth and change in our lives if we do these things and are filled with these things. And one of those things includes growing in our knowledge. And the more we do these things, the more and deeper our knowledge of Christ is going to grow. And our understanding of Christ is going to grow. And we'll find new ways and new things to change in our lives and become more and more like the image of Christ. Now, chances are that you might not get it right the first time. And I think we need to be comfortable understanding that and okay saying that out loud. You might not get it right the first time, but practice will make you better. Practice won't make you perfect, but practice will make you better. It is a process of maturity. It is a process of growth. Hebrews chapter 5, 13 says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Spiritual maturity comes with understanding and studying the word of God and doing the work and then applying that work so that by reason of use we begin to exercise our senses to know what is good and evil. And we can compare it to a child, because the scripture compares it to a child. When we become in Christ, we become babes in Christ. And the word of God is like milk to us as infants, because we're born again unto Christ. We're multiplied unto the family of God. And he compares it here. If we're unskillful in the word, we're using milk. And so he's saying, you're just like an infant. You're just like a child. So think about this. Just like a child learns to eat, we may awkwardly handle the Word of God at first. And we might look at somebody handling the Word of God that's brand new in Christ, and they're not really sure what they're doing, and it's awkward sometimes. And you think they don't really have a knowledge of the Word of God yet that's strong and that's really grounded. And so you can see it in people's lives when they're brand new in Christ. But think about a child. I mean, I've got two kids. There's plenty of kids here. We know what it looks like when a child learns to eat. Once they're weaned off of milk, we know what it's like when they eat. It's messy. My kids just sometimes fling food. I don't know how they get any nutrition because some of it doesn't even make it in their mouth. But and they make a mess. And we kind of do that with the Word of God. As we go through, we think these things and we see these things and we don't understand. And so we're kind of making a mess as we are learning to exercise our senses. And pretty soon, you know, my kids can just put away anything and they're eating just like that. And they don't miss now because they've learned. And so the more we repeat the action, the more we repeat this process, we're refining our skill in the Word of God. And we can handle the Word of God better and better so that we move on past milk and we move on to more solid foods. We move on to stronger things. And it's a process. It's a process of maturity and growth. As we learn, we do and repeat. You can compare it to a child learning to walk. You're going to stumble around a little bit. You might fall down a little bit. But the point is that not only is God there to help you get back up, but you know, our family, our brothers in Christ are there to help you get back up as you learn to walk and your legs become stronger and stronger until you're running and you're in full sprint at times, or you're able to stand on your own and you're able to walk. And you've grown up and you've matured and you've processed and you've developed. Of learning, you're doing, and you repeat. The same can be true in our spiritual lives. And so this process of transformation, I think, is fair for us to understand, because I was frustrated with myself for so long because I just wasn't getting it. And the change just wasn't there. And it was destructive to a point. Once I realized that the Scriptures teach these concepts that it's okay. It's okay. It's a process. Habits that we've developed in our lives, especially if we've come from, you know, if depending on how many years you lived outside of Christ, the things that you learned, when you become a Christian, you are going to have to battle those habits. They are not going to just be, your sins are washed away and you're created into a new creature and your life is now new. But the habits from that old dead man will resurrect themselves at times, and you have to fight those things and those habits. And I don't know any Christian that has ever said, as soon as I was baptized, my habits and my life were completely changed. I didn't have a problem with all of these things anymore. And it was just this instant moment of change. I don't know any Christian that has ever told me that. And if there is somebody who feels that way, I would like to know your secret. I would love to know what it is and what I did wrong to not experience that. But the truth is, for me, and perhaps for you as well, it takes time to see the fruits of the effort that you're putting in. It takes time to see the changes in your life take place. You know, we plant gardens back at home, and I've never gone out and planted a seed, let's say a tomato. I've never gone out and planted a tomato plant and gone out the next day and saw full-grown fruit on this tomato plant. And we're ready to eat garden fresh tomatoes. I've never seen that. But it takes work. You go out, plant you till the ground, you prepare the ground first, and then you go plant the seed, and then it sprouts and it grows, then it begins to produce fruit, and you have to go out there and you have to water it, and oh, there's weeds popping up, and you have to go out there and you have to spray it, or you have to get your hoe out and start getting the weeds out, and you have to do some more tilling, and you have to do some more cultivating, and then you have to go out and continually and water again, and then you water again, oh no, now we have a bug problem. And so then you go out and get the bug spray, or you get whatever it is that you do for your pest control, and you take all these bugs out. And then you go back again and water it. Oh no, the sun's too hot and they're burning up, so now I've got to find a way to cover them up, and now I've got to find a way to make sure they keep growing, and now I'm going to go plant some plant food. And after several weeks of doing this over and over and over again, you have garden fresh tomatoes. It takes work. It takes effort. There's times where we thought, hey, we're going to plant a garden, and we get busy, and guess what? Nothing really grows when you don't have time to actually do anything with it. It takes time to see the fruits of the effort that we put in. It takes time for our habits to begin to change, and we begin to learn to live this new life. And the key is staying committed. Romans chapter 12 said that we are supposed to be a living sacrifice. This is something that is perpetual. You don't get to just offer your life up as a sacrifice to God one time, and then you back off, and then there's no changes, and there's nothing. It is a perpetual sacrifice that we need to live in with God. And so that takes commitment. The psalmist said, if you teach me thy laws, I will keep thy word, and I will keep it with my whole heart. It takes commitment. We have to be committed to this process. We have to be committed to the Lord. We have to be committed to the choice that we made. Because if we're not committed to the choice that we made, then we're not going to experience change. We're never done learning. We're never done growing. We're never done doing what is right. We're never done living in righteousness. And this is a lifelong commitment. It will take your whole life to continually go through this process. You know, Jesus compared it to building a tower. You know, back then in those days, putting up a tower isn't like building a Walmart the way we know it. Within just a month or two, they've got that thing up and it's fully stocked and it's ready to go. Building buildings happens a lot faster in our days. The process has changed, the tools have changed, the materials have changed, the technology has changed. And we can put up a building relatively quick. But in the days of Christ, building a building, it didn't take just a few months. It didn't take just a few weeks. It didn't even take just a few years. It took a lot of time. You know, when Jesus came along and he saw this great temple that was built, he said, if you destroy this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. Now, of course, he was talking about the temple of his body, but the Jews didn't understand what he was saying, and they said something that was interesting. They said, it took 46 years to build this temple. That's a long time. It took 46 years. They thought he was crazy. You said you're going to build it in 3 days? It took 46 years to build this temple. Think about that. 46 years to build this building. Now, it was a magnificent structure, and it was very large, of course. But building buildings in those days was slow. And 46 years, that could be a lifelong commitment for somebody. Somebody who's a laborer that's participating in building that. That's a lifelong commitment. Jesus said that our lives, being committed to him, is like building a tower. Now think about that, about how slow it is as we read these words. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 27, it says, and whosoever doth bear his cross and come after me, or doth not bear his cross, rather, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, and all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build, was not able to finish. Jesus says, before you make this choice and before you make this commitment, count the cost whether or not you're actually going to fulfill this commitment. Count the cost whether or not you're actually going to follow him for the rest of your life and bear your cross daily. And that doesn't mean if we stumble, we can't get back up and honor this commitment. That's not what I'm saying, and I don't know that Jesus is saying that either. But understand, we need to count the cost whether or not we have sufficient to finish this race and to build this tower, because it is a lifelong commitment. Following Christ is an all-in venture. You can't just be halfway in. You can't just be three-quarters of the way in. We've got to be all in, and it takes calculated and intentional effort to spend the rest of your life transforming into his image. We can't just go on to it blindly and have nothing planned out and have no desire or intention or purpose in living a different life. And we just think we're on autopilot and it's just automatically going to change. That's not the way it works. We have to be calculated and find out whether or not we have sufficient. You know, when they built this tower, they had to find out, do we have enough resources? Do we have enough money? Do we have enough labor? Do we have enough time to do this? And if they don't, they become a laughing stock of their community. They thought they could build this tower, but they can't. And it's a shame. You know, there's a real life example of this over in Arkansas. There's this place called Ozark Medieval Fortress, and they decided, we're going to build a 13th century French castle in the Ozarks. And what a cool idea. And they were only going to use primitive tools. No new technology, no new processes. They're going to use primitive tools and primitive processes to build this. It was going to take them 20 years to build this castle. Amazing. It was supposed to be the highlight of the community and a tourist attraction, and so amazing, and this was going to be great. And that began in 2010, and after 2 years, it closed down. They didn't have enough to finish it. Apparently, they didn't count the cost. They didn't have enough funding. They didn't have enough resources. Seems like they planned out their time, but they didn't have enough to finish it. Now you drive by and you just see what was the beginnings of this, what was supposed to be a really cool place, this great tourist attraction. And so when we don't stay committed to our lives, all we leave are remnants of what should have been a good, godly life. And the people in our lives see that, and it's heartbreaking. We want to see real lasting change in our lives. It requires steady and consistent action over time. Don't just think that you're going to go to a gospel meeting in 1 week and get all excited and be all revived and your life is going to change, because the days that come, then what? You go back to your daily routine. Don't think that you're just going to go to a Bible study I'm not saying you're going to not receive, that you won't receive knowledge that will impact and change your life, but I'm saying that the work continues after these things are done. The work continues. It's possible to change your habits, but transformation cannot occur unless we're serious about the change, unless we're committed. Because if we're only halfway in, all we're going to have in our lives is chaos. James chapter 1, verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If we don't know which foot we're going to walk with and what step we're going to take and where we're going to step, we're going to be unstable and we will fall down. And it's not going to be pretty. There will be all kinds of instability in our lives if we can't make up our minds to stay committed to the choice that we made to follow Christ. And if we were baptized into Christ, at that moment you decided, you counted the cost, and you decided, we can do what we're supposed to do. I do have enough in the tank. I do have enough resources. I do have enough time. I do have enough energy to complete this tower and to build this. And so live up to that. Honor that commitment. We won't experience real, lasting change if we can't decide which side to be on and which path to be on. So let's make up our minds. Let's stay the course. Don't turn to the right nor to the left, God says. But stay straight on the course. Follow his commandments. And so don't give up now. That's my encouragement to you. If you decided to follow Christ and you said, I have the commitment, I have what it takes, I want to build this tower, don't give up. Stay committed to this process. And as you go through this change, the Bible guarantees us we will experience progress. We will experience growth. But we're also going to experience failures. So be aware. Don't go into this blindly and thinking it's all going to be sunshine and rainbows and we're just going to experience growth and everything's going to be happy and joyous times. It's not. The waves will come, the rain will crash down, the winds will beat upon your house, and turmoil will come, and life will happen to you, and you will find that the habits that you have in your life sometimes will sneak up on you, and you will fail, and you will fall for a short time. Some people give up when those failures come and when those failures occur, and that's heartbreaking as well. Don't give up. The key is to learn from those mistakes and keep growing from those things. Learn from that and just go on. Get up and go on. Dust yourself off, get up, go on. And brothers and sisters, if we see somebody that is experiencing that in their life, don't just cast them away and say, well, I'm tired of them falling down and getting up. Be there to help them up and walk with them. Doesn't matter how many times they fall. When our babies learn to walk and they fall down the first time, we don't just look at them and say, okay, well, I'll help you up this time. And then they fall again and say, okay, well, you know, now I'm just tired of it. Learn to walk already, okay? I'm tired of bending over and picking you up. We don't do that to our own children. Why do we do that to the children of God? Be there for them. Help them. If you're the helper, or if you're the person that's needing help and you're falling down, don't give up the first time you fall, don't give up the 600th time you fall, and don't give up the 6,000th time you fall. I know it's hard, I know it hurts, but the goal is worth it. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. Proverbs 24 says, the just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. If we're living in the righteousness of God, even though we are going to experience calamity, even though we're going to fall, get up. Rise up again. Stay faithful to this process. Stay committed to this process. Hebrews chapter 10, 23 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You should be faithful to this promise because God is faithful to this promise. He wants us to change. He wants us to experience the growth. He's not going to turn away back up every time we fall. He gives us help and he gives us hope. And we're going to talk about a little bit about that this afternoon. But he is there and he is faithful to this process and wants you to change. He is committed. So you should be committed to this process too. And that brings to mind, how committed is God to this process? How do we even know he cares about us? Because he's so committed that he came into this world and he died for it. That's how we know. Philippians chapter 2 says, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. And in that action, Jesus secured eternal hope for us. And we read about that when we took a part of communion. He attained eternal redemption for us through the sacrifice of his own blood. That's how much God cares, and that's how committed he is. So committed, he was willing to die for it. Be committed to the process. If you want to be more like Christ, if I want to be more like Christ, this is a refresher for me. I'm not just up here and, you know, the elders didn't just say, hey, get up here and let's just rail on people. They didn't say anything like that at all. They said, come and speak what you're passionate about. And I'm passionate about this because these are the things that I faced in my own life. And I continue to face in my own life. And I know that if it's true for me, it might be true for somebody in the audience today. If we want to be more like Christ, this is a process that will help us to become that way because it is grounded in the knowledge of the truth. This isn't just some idea that I came up with and I thought, hey, this is cool. This is what the Bible teaches about this. And this is a concept that comes from the scriptures, I believe, fully. Romans chapter 12, again, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is something that is perpetual. Stay committed to this. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Make the choice to follow after righteousness and be renewed of your mind. Seek the knowledge of God that you may prove and take action upon that. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Psalm 119, again, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments I have laid before me. I have stuck to thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of thy statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Choose to do what is right. Take the knowledge of God and grow in that knowledge of God and do the work and understand what it is we should be and take action upon that. Don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word and stay committed to building this tower because it is absolutely worth it in our lives of transformation. We are capable of change. If you're in the audience and you're sitting here and you're thinking, I just don't know, and you're struggling and you can feel it in your heart. You know your problems. I don't know your problems. But you know, and if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I can't change, don't lie to yourself and don't let Satan lie to you. You can change. You absolutely can change, and the Word of God says that we can. You have an alternative. Choose the way of righteousness. You are capable. I am capable of growing more into the image of Christ, but it has to be something that you make a choice about and that you take committed action for. And be intentional and be deliberate about these changes. If you're ready to experience real and lasting change in your life and you want help from your family to help you walk, I guarantee you the people here care about your life and your soul. And they're ready to walk with you and help you. If you've fallen down and you're just on the ground and you want help getting up, they are here to help you get up. If you're not even in the body of Christ, and you think, I want to experience real lasting change in my life. My life is a wreck. My life is a mess, and I've made horrible choices, and I'm down in the pig slot. Come to yourself and realize you have a choice. You have an alternative. You can change, and God offers a way of life to you. And it's through the blood of his son, Jesus. He died so that he could give us this opportunity. He died so that we could be baptized into Christ, joined together with him, raised to walk in newness of life, and live in hope of eternity. You have access to that. You can access that, and you can change. If there's anybody that has a need that we can assist with in your life, please don't be ashamed to come forward. We are family. We love one another, and we care about one another. We'll weep with you. And I know that the congregation here will work with you to help you experience the goal and help you experience the change in your life because they care about you.